Good morning, everyone. My name's David and I'm the Older Adults Pastor here at DPC. We're into week five of our Union in Christ series and we're going to be looking at a new purpose. But first, let's have a look at the Bible reading for today, which is 1 Peter 1, 3 to 21. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you called on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you want a relationship with us, and you do that through Jesus. Through this, you give us your purpose and the means and desire to carry it out. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a fourth year apprentice, I started an engineering certificate, thinking that if I do this in 3 or 4 years, I'll be a fully qualified electrical engineer. I found the course content could be quite challenging at times, but I thought, oh, it's only one day a week, so I'll have plenty of time to study. The only thing is, I'd finish work at 2 a.m. in the morning, I'd go home, I'd have a few hours sleep, I'd get up and I'd head down to Wollongong Technical College, or to you younger ones, TAFE, And I'd start there at 8:30 in the morning, finish at 5 p.m. Then I'd head back up to the pit, the coal mine, for a 7 p.m. start. And being Friday, we used to do an overtime shift Friday night, so I wouldn't finish until 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And by the time I got home around 9 or 9:30 on Saturday morning, I was pretty exhausted. I did this for about a year, but then it all got too hard for me, so I stopped. Have any of you ever tried to do anything that you found too hard? Have any of you kids ever tried to play a musical instrument and just found it too hard? Or you've tried playing a sport that you were just no good at and you just couldn't seem to, you know, get any good at it, so you just stopped? And what about with God? Today we're talking about one of those things that plenty of people find either too hard to understand or too hard to do. Holiness. This is what I want to look at this morning. A new purpose, being holy. Is holiness just too hard to obtain, like that engineering certificate? We're going to look at 4 points this morning. What is holiness? Why don't we want holiness? Why should we pursue holiness? And how can we pursue holiness? So the first point, what is holiness? Now, this is a good question and probably one worth having a look at to start with, so we have an idea of what we're talking about. Kids, this is the question on your sheet today and your question for talking to Mum and Dad later. I did ask this question to the rest of the staff and I got a couple of answers, and I asked my wife Pam as well. And here's what I got: being set apart and connected to God's perfection. Being set apart is a reoccurring theme through the Bible. In the Old Testament, God makes a covenant with Israel, setting them apart from other nations. In Deuteronomy 14:2, it says, "You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure." God has chosen Israel to be his people, but he's also given them laws and statutes to live by as his chosen people. In the New Testament, we see that we've been set apart as well. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." We can see this theme through both verses, that we've been set apart and we are to be an example to others, showing God's goodness and holiness. Then there's connected to God's perfection. The idea that we're set apart by God and therefore connected to God's perfection or holiness through our relationship with him. It's a bit like if I said to an apprentice, "I've got a special job for you. I need you to help me to replace all the lights in this building. And that's all we're going to be doing for the next week. I've chosen that apprentice for a special job with me for a week." God has chosen us for a purpose with him forever. So we can see these answers to what is holiness is supported by the Bible. We are set apart. We are connected to God's perfection. Now we have some idea what holiness is, we're going to have a look at why we should pursue holiness. We keep talking about the gap in this series, and I guess the obvious gap we could look at today is how holy we are today and being completely holy. But I think there's more than one gap or tension here. There's also not wanting to pursue holiness and pursuing it. Is it an impossible task? Or do we already think we have it? This is what I want to look at in our second point today. Why don't we want holiness? What does Peter say about being holy in 1 Peter 13 to 16? Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And all God's people said, yuck! This looks pretty hard to achieve. A bit like doing that engineering certificate. Now we're going to look at three possible reasons why we don't want to pursue holiness. The first one is, it's undesirable. It's possible for us to look at being holy in a negative way. And this is probably due to some of the terms associated with the word holy. How many of you have heard the terms holier than thou or holy roller? I don't know about you, but the first one paints a particular picture to me. I imagine some well-dressed person who never seems to do anything wrong, but is quite happy to point out all my failings, which of course are many. And then the picture I have of a holy roller is someone in a pulpit telling me, if I don't stop sinning, I'm going to go to hell. I think, well, I'm a sinner. What chance have I got? It all seems pretty negative. Do I want to be like those images? The second is, it's unnecessary. This could be another reason why pursuing holiness is not something to be prized among us. We can say, holiness, isn't that what Jesus died to give us? Through God's grace, we've been made right with him. But should we leave it at that? We've been made holy because we are in Christ. So it doesn't matter what we do or how we live. So we don't have to pursue holiness. The last reason is, it's unattainable. That engineering certificate keeps coming back to haunt me. We can't see ourselves being ever able to obtain it. To attempt to be holy seems like a great way to get discouraged and fail. It's easy to say, oh, it's not possible, or it's not for me, or I tried, but I just can't. There is a quote from the book that this series is from, Union with Christ. I see where I am, and I see way in the distance where I'm supposed to be, the person God wants me to be. But the distance between these two points seems to be hopelessly long, with steep mountains and impassable rivers between. I'll never get there, so why even try? You look at that, and it really does emphasize the gap we are looking at between holiness, wanting holiness, and pursuing holiness. So holiness seems like it could be undesirable, unnecessary, and unattainable. Why would you try? Well, that leads us to our third point. Why should we pursue holiness? All of us have had to pursue an education of some type. Some of you are at school, wondering what your next step's going to be. Others will be completing some form of tertiary education to enable them to participate in a particular job. Yet others have completed their training and finding out they never stop learning. I remember doing my apprenticeship, and throughout those 4 years, there were times when I struggled and wondered if I was doing the right thing. And finally, I was a tradesman, and I'm thinking, great, the training's finally over. But in fact, it had only just begun. And I've never stopped learning since. And I imagine our pursuit of holiness is going to be something similar. Always trying and improving, but never quite getting there. But at least we know we eventually will. But why should we pursue holiness? We've already seen in Peter 1, 15 to 16. But just as he called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now that's probably not going to work, as we're already not very good at doing what we're told. We're not going to want to pursue holiness until we think of it as not a burden, but as something that will bring us happiness and joy. It has to be something we desire, that we really want to chase after. That's what it means to live a holy life, to see the beauty of Jesus and follow after him. God has set us aside to be an example to others. The purpose he has set us for is to be holy. And you'll be saying, yes, I know that, but it all seems too hard. Once again, we see that gap, that tension in our lives. The desire can be there, but how do we make it happen? Well, Lilborn, the author of Union with Christ, tells us our union with Christ is the answer. And it leads us to our fourth point. How do we pursue holiness? Wilborn uses this beautiful analogy that union with Christ is the anchor of holiness, and union with Christ is the engine of holiness. How can it be both the anchor and engine? Don't they do completely opposite things? It'd be like having one foot on the brake in your car and the other foot on the accelerator. So how does this work? Let's have a look at being an anchor, at it being an anchor. Would it be right to say many of our concerns about holiness is our lack of it? The Bible tells us we are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Being in Christ is being anchored. We are being told that because we are in Christ, we're already holy. Christ has made us holy. What does an anchor do? It stops you from drifting away. It stops you from being smashed onto the rocks. Because God has made us holy, we have a strong anchor to hold us in place. If we relied on ourselves, we would be drifting all over the place. Do you find yourself drifting away from time to time? Do other things cause you to get blown off course? Things like work, families, hobbies? Do these things become more important than pursuing holiness? More important than God? So this has painted a picture of a good, safe anchorage to begin navigating across that gap and pursue holiness. And now to the engine. Here's where our confusion can be with holiness. If Christ has saved us, made us holy by grace, then why try? You see, grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Being made holy by Christ means we don't have to earn a relationship with God. But it doesn't mean we don't have to put effort into our relationship with God. We saw last week our destiny being restored in the image of God, and the engine of holiness will grow us towards that restoration. Let me show you something from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And from Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We can see by these verses that God wants us to be holy because He is holy. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He wants us to become more Christ-like. I have made you holy, now be holy. I have made you holy, and now live in you. Remember that thing we've been saying, Christ is in us. Being joined to Jesus, in union with Him, means Christ is in us. He is the engine. Being in Christ, we've already been made holy, giving us a wonderful and steadfast anchor to keep us from drifting away. And because Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us. He is the engine that helps us bridge the gap. So why do we need to have this anchor and engine? Are we able to pursue holiness without them? Without being in Christ and without Christ in us? Without that union? If we tried to pursue holiness on our own, how do you think it would work? You might have a good day. You've been to church. You might have been serving in some way. You might have been encouraging someone while you were there. You may have even talked to a non-Christian friend about the gospel. Then the next day, life gets in the way. Things aren't going well at work. Teacher's giving you a hard time. Traffic's bad. The kids are playing up. You're in a complete opposite place to where you were the day before. Once again, this is the gap. And it can make pursuit of holiness really depressing. It makes you want to give up. But if we take hold of our union with Christ, with a knowledge that we're anchored in Christ, we have that solid base that as long as we are in Him, we cannot drift away. When we fail or are afraid, we have that anchor. We are in Christ. God doesn't want us to pursue holiness as a punishment or even as a preparation for the future. No, it's because He wants us to enjoy our life with Him more. And the more we grow in holiness, the more we can enjoy His presence. And the great thing is, He doesn't want us to do this on our own. We are a community of people who have union in Christ. We have people there for us when we think we're failing or drifting away. There's a quote in this book: no one can attain any degree of holiness without God working in their life. But just as surely, no one will attain it without effort on his own part. God has made it possible for us to walk in holiness, but He has given us the responsibility of doing the walking. If you don't know Christ and you have no union with Him and you aren't in Him, what anchors you? What stops you from drifting in life? What stops us putting things like work, hobbies, family? And now there's nothing wrong with these things, but should they be the center and anchor of our lives instead of God? And without Christ in you, what is your purpose? Where does it end? Paul tells us where it ends in Romans 8:13. For if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But the great thing to remember, that because of our union with Christ, we are in Christ, and we have that wonderful knowledge that even when life throws its storms at us, we know that we have Christ as our anchor. to prevent us drifting away. And because we have Christ in us, we have that engine to drive us on to a life of joy with our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can see that without our union with Christ, we will drift in life. We will not have that anchor or engine to stop us drifting and to lead us on to our new purpose of holiness. We thank you, Father, that by being in union with Christ, we have the means and desire to try and be holy, because that is part of our relationship with you, that relationship that you have been continually bringing us back to. Amen.